Michael Desay is a Cajun fiddler, singer, and songwriter. He founded the pioneering Grammy Award-winning Cajun band Beausoleil in 1975. Beausoleil recently released its 29th album, Alligator Purse. Desay also has an extensive background in arts education. He designed and taught the first university course on Cajun music. Desay talked to Steve Paulson about educating people about Cajun culture through Cajun music.
Folks, this is genuine Cajun breakdown music as heard in Evangeline Country. Let's go, boys!
Let's start with a very basic question. What is Cajun music?
Basic? In 100 words or less. Well, you know, the way I look at it now, I think it's really true North American music because it was actually created here. It has a lot of different ingredients. Our ancestors came from the western part of France and settled in the New World as early as 1604 amongst the Mi'kmaq Indians, who probably showed them how to survive. And the area that they found it was a place called Acadie, which is now called Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Maine. And they were there for some 150 years or so, and then they were deported by the English, who basically wanted their lands at no cost. And so both sides of my family, the Ducets and the Leblancs, actually went back to France before getting Spanish land grants in Louisiana, because Louisiana had changed hands. Napoleon had sold it. It was under the Spanish flag. So they moved to Louisiana in the early 1760s. With them came the traditions and the history, and of course their love of music and telling stories. They were known to be fiddle players up in Nova Scotia, and I'm sure the Native Americans and their rhythms changed somewhat. And then being in Louisiana, New Orleans is such a port of call that all the different influences of the world were there, not only African, but Caribbean, but classical and Spanish and et cetera, et cetera. So the Acadian people, and that Cajun is a corruption of that, basically lived in southwest Louisiana along the Gulf of Mexico. And they flourished from there. And the basic language they used was French. It's the 17th century French. So the music is created out of that culture and how it adapted to the new world.
And would you say the fiddle is the most important instrument in Cajun music?
I would definitely say that, being a fiddle player. Yes, of course. And the fiddle is a representation of the human voice, because a lot of our songs actually are derivative of ballads. You know, they might go on for 15 or 20 verses. So, yeah, the fiddle kind of, I think it was the instrument that was made to most assimilate the human voice. So, yeah, and that's our culture. I mean, it was known to be fiddle players, well, 1800 around to the turn of the century. It was basically twin fiddles. There were really no guitars or no accordions. So those two instruments together, twin fiddles, were sort of the basis of our music.
I read somewhere that in 1975 you received an NEA Folk Arts grant to study Cajun fiddle styles. Mm-hmm. What did you learn?
Well, I wanted to document the styles. I mean, it's so diverse. We have like civil parishes in Louisiana. We don't have counties. And from every town and every parish, you have a different style. So I wanted to really document the styles and kind of perform and work out a network of fiddle players and fiddle styles. So I went about doing that, knocking on people's doors. People who told me about this great fiddle player hadn't played in 30 years. So I went around to do that, both Cajun and Creole styles. And it was pretty amazing what I learned then, and made incredible friends. Dennis McGee was one of them. Baby Carrier was another one. Varis Connor, another one, studied with Dewey Balfa and Will Balfa, and you know, a number of people. And just to compare the styles of where they came and their contribution to the music, and also, you know, to bring these people out, because after that grant, we had another grant that I worked with the late Dewey Balfa to bring this music into the public school system free of charge, from a grant from the NEA. And that sounds like a wonderful thing, but we had so much problem, and actually we were turned down by some schools who
really
didn't want this music in their schools. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they want that music?
Well, it had a bad connotation in some ways. I mean, it was known to be like, you know, the Saturday night dance. But what people didn't know, because it escaped them, they were just seeing the tip of the iceberg. You know, these songs started within the family. I call it, you know, kitchen music, you know, back porch music. I mean, because the music was a couple of centuries old. and it might have gotten watered down, but the essence of it was pure French or pure Acadian, which was totally amazing in our modern day. So I was really interested in the essence and the source of this music, which I found in musicians that were still alive who were born before 1900.
So it sounds like to get the schools to accept a course on Cajun music, you really had to get them to accept the whole idea of Cajun culture.
Exactly, and the history, and how it wasn't just a flash in the pan thing, and it was never written down. You know, later on, I worked for a council for the development of French in Louisiana, and I guess it was in the mid-70s that my job was to embellish on the two paragraphs given to the Acadian people in the Louisiana history book. And, you know, basically they said, oh, Cajuns are fun-loving people who come from Nova Scotia. You know. And it was so much more than that. And from that, you know, end up, you know, creating a course at the university level. And we had another grant to do that where it kind of broadened it and showed the culture, the architecture, the language, the history. So, yeah, we definitely worked in that era because the music wasn't going to continue unless the people in Louisiana got notice of this and really understood the importance of this and the historical importance and the cultural importance of our culture.
Your new album is called Alligator Purse, which is something like your 29th album, but how would you say this is different from other Beau Soleil albums?
Oh, it's in tune. I don't know. It's like, to me, this one was fun because it all started in a great way. It started through a benefit for the Katrina and Rita hurricanes, and meeting people in upstate New York and reacquainting with an old friend of mine who produced a record, Michael Pilot. And it was nice to get away from Louisiana to record this album.
Well, one of the songs you do is Bob Dylan's cover version of the old Muddy Waters song, Rollin' and Tumblin'. Why did you decide to include this song?
Well, you know, we've been playing that song since we were teenagers. I mean, you know, everybody knows Rolling and Tumbling. But it just so happens that the year after the hurricane, we were playing this little bar in New Orleans for the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, and Dylan shows up. You know, we go to a party with him, and, you know, he just, like, hangs out by the side of the band staring at us. That's a little unnerving.
As you were playing his song?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, this. Well, it wasn't his song. That's the thing about it, because it was not even Muddy Waters' songs. It's beyond that. But his version of it, when I heard him play the next day, I just said, you know, nobody tried to Cajunize that song. We ought to do it. And, you know, just created some more words to it. But it just works, and it shows, again, the Americana, how we Cajunize music and make it our own.
So how is your version different than Dylan's?
It's in French. Amongst other things.
So you have another song, Little Darlin', which has Natalie Merchant singing vocals. Tell me how she got involved in that song.
That was, again, through the producer, Michael Pilot, who produced Save the Levee, this benefit in upstate New York. And she was on the show, and we played together then, and we became friends. And she lives in the neighborhood, and so we all got together for this benefit in this studio called The Clubhouse in Rhinebeck, New York. And that's where we practiced. And, you know, it was just fun. I mean, she's incredible. I mean, she's got such a great voice. And when I was listening to the song, you know, when I heard Julie Miller's version, I knew that she had heard Cajun music because it is so Cajun. And when I heard it, in my mind, it was. And the lyrics are so representative of Cajun lyrics without trying to translate, because I think it's really a dilemma to try to translate our Cajun or French songs, because you really lose something in the translation. But this song was very poetic in English. It just worked perfectly, and Natalie's got a definitely a satiric voice that just works with that twang. And so we tried to get, you know, it just happening, and we did it one take. That's it.
Cure. I'm a gardener. Maybe that's for
So when you talk about Cajun lyrics, are you talking about something more than singing in French?
No, I'm trying to translate the Cajun lyrics, you know, into English. I don't think that works. I mean, either you're going to write a Cajun song, you're going to write an English song, but I haven't bridged that gap where, you know, someone has created a great translation of a French Acadian song. Mm-hmm.
So it really matters to you to sing in French?
Well, yeah, because it's not just the music. I mean, it's the culture, and that's how it's formed. That's some of the ingredients. I mean, you know, you make a gumbo and you leave out the garlic, something's missing. And I think this French adds to it. I mean, it's a dilemma. I mean, come on. And we are where we are right now in 2009. I mean, in the 1970 census of Southwest Louisiana, they said there were over 1 million French-speaking people. And they did the same census in the year 2000, and they found there were less than 100,000 French-speaking people. So the language is not as vibrant as was when I was younger, and there's less people using it now. There's less reason to use it. But nevertheless, that's where the culture is. So as long as people play this music, I definitely think they should sing and continue to create songs in, what we say, Acadian French.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you are very involved in trying to pass on this culture. In fact, you designed and taught, I believe it was the first university course on Cajun music at the University of Louisiana, Lafayette. But I guess you have to wonder whether Cajun culture is still that vibrant, or whether it's, you know, sort of turning into some kind of a museum piece.
Well, that's, you know, that's the dilemma. I mean, back then I was worried that it would just survive, you know, and to me it was like, you know, it goes through different sort of revolutions. I mean, it seemed like a low ebb at 1980, and then all of a sudden, you know, this Opelousas chef goes to New Orleans and burns a redfish and sells it to the Americans. You know, it becomes a big deal, and that helped us. Paul Prudhomme definitely helped us. We played for his when he went to New York to cook, you know, and then all of a sudden there were some movies, local movies by Glenn Pete, who did The Bellies of the Cajun, and I did the soundtrack to that, and also did the title song to The Big Easy. Those things helped regenerate. And it was at that time, you know, we were playing in Louisiana mostly, and also in French-speaking countries. But it was at that time that I said, you know, this music is really American music, and we need to bring this music to America. So it was then, about 1986, that said, well, let's try to do this full-time, because that had never been done before either. I mean, there was never like a band who wanted to play traditional music and live in Louisiana where we could have our boudin crawfish when we wanted to, but tour around the country. So we did that. And since then, we've played in every state of the Union more than 3 times, which has been pretty amazing.
So will we still have Cajun music 50 years from now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost every state of the Union has a Cajun band, and it's influenced country music. I mean, even with Mary Chapin Carpenter's hit, you know, Down at the Twist and Shout, I mean, there's, you know, from Jambalaya, Hank Williams. I mean, I think it's there. It's a difficult genre because it's not like bluegrass. It's not just music. It's a culture and language and a people who are different. But nevertheless, I mean, Louisiana has succumbed, and we are Americans after all these years, and we're proud of that. And, you know, very tenacious people. I mean, you know, you've seen what happened when things happened in New Orleans with the hurricanes, and, you know, and people are very resilient, and they come back, you know, and people say, well, why do you live there? And I said, well, because it's home. And we're very proud of that, and I think it is going to continue. It's going to change. It has to change like everything else, but I think people will still be playing Joe LeBlanc in 100 years.
Les oignons. Les oignons, tout le bon marché. C'est les ci, c'est les ça. Ma grand-mère tournait le dos. Les oignons, sous le bon marché. C'est les ci, c'est les ça. Ma grand-mère tournait le dos.
That's Beausoleil with a song called Les Oignons from their new CD, Alligator Purse. Michael Doucet is the founder of Beausoleil. He spoke with Steve Paulson.